Ezekiel. Before we get to that, though, I want to stay on the subject, the theme perhaps, of thinking about some of our childhood memories. And I want to invite us to think a little bit about some of those songs that we learn as kids. This week, as I was getting ready to preach, I started to think about some of these songs, and I began to realize a lot of the songs we learn as kids, they're actually kind of creepy. Now, stick with me. Ring Around the Rosy, a sweet little rhyme about the bubonic plague. Jack and Jill, did you know it's actually a cheerful melody about what was probably a political execution? And then there's this one. Dem bones, dem bones, dem dry bones, the foot bones connected to the heel bone. Song goes on from there. Now, as a kid, I thought this song was all about skeletons and anatomy. What I didn't know is this song actually contains deep prophetic scripture. I didn't know that this song was about resurrection, about the exile, about finding hope in the midst of hopelessness. When we start to grow up, this song contains a powerful message because we begin to realize that the world that we find ourselves in, it has a lot of valleys, dry, dead, silent places. And the God of the Bible, well, God meets us in the middle of them. And that's exactly what happens in Ezekiel chapter 37. It's one of the strangest, most powerful visions in Scripture. I think it might just have a message for us today. So I'm actually just going to read verses 1 through 10. I know in the bulletins it says 1 through 14, but I invite you to read along with me Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. Again, that is Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to the bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we reflect on this haunting passage, allow me to paint a quick road map for where I'm headed today. The first thing I want to do is I want to engage our collective imagination. I want to invite us to actually enter into this valley of dry bones. Once we get a little bit more familiar with the scripture and maybe can even see ourselves standing in that valley, after we do that, I want to think a little bit about the biblical interpretation. I'm going to frame this vision and reveal how it's a profound text that intersects both with past history and with our lives today. Then for third and finally, I want to end with a little bit of application. I want to ask, how does this prompt us into action today? But let's begin by diving a little bit deeper into the text. I want to invite us to use what I sometimes call the divine imagination. Now, maybe this is a little bit strange, but this actually is one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. First, because of its deeper meaning, which we're going to get to in just a moment, but also because, come on, this is pretty cool stuff. This is a pretty gnarly passage. Can you imagine standing there with Ezekiel in this valley of dry bones and then hearing the voice of God? If we're getting serious about it, what a flood of emotions. Seeing the dried bones of your community. Skeletal remains of loved ones, of friends slain by a foreign enemy, surrounding you all over the place. This valley of dry bones, it's a scene of horror. It's a scene of dismay, of despair. This is a scene of hopelessness, of death. But in the midst of this dark place, the voice of God falls over us and says, I'm going to breathe life back into these bones. And I want you to help me. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to prophesy in this grim, dark place. And I want for you to be my messenger. Now, God says all this directly to us as we're standing here. And he says that he's going to do this impossible thing. And that all we have to do is say yes, to be a good and faithful servant, and to speak the words that he gives us. So, imagine with me, we're the prophet, we're here, we're in this scene, God is telling us to do this thing, yet we're probably left scratching our head in a confused state. But God told us to do this thing, so we better do it. I know that I have no special power. I have no ability to bring bones back to life, but I know that I serve a God who can. I serve the one who formed Adam and Eve from the earth. I serve the one who holds life and death in his hands, the one God who makes impossible possible and who makes come on, get real into that which is real. So we start saying the words that God tells us to. We start prophesying, and not by our power, but through God's. The bones somewhat mystically start swirling in the air around us. They begin to connect. They begin to form. And now, in total amazement, flesh begins to cover the bones. Familiar faces, members of the community that we've not seen in decades, they begin to appear before us even now in a flurry of life. But that's not enough. The Lord tells us, prophesy more. Don't give up. Keep going. Tell them about the breath of life that I will provide. And to our amazement, the once dry bones come to life. A new creation, a new living people formed before our eyes. God has taken death and turned it into life once again. The story of Ezekiel, of the dry bones, is such a powerful experience, such a powerful lesson and a powerful call to action. Now, here's the thing. I told you, if you get confused, go back to Little Bunny. I get it. This is some weird stuff, but it does have a message for us today. What this mystical story about bones and the breath of God, what does it have to do with us? Well, just like the songs that we started off talking about today, those nursery rhymes, there's a deeper message going on in this text. It contains a lot of symbolism. It points to events happening in a specific time, serving both as a warning as a promise. You see, this valley of dry bones, it's a haunting image of corpses and skeletal remains, likely referring to the Babylonian exile. You might have heard about this before. But it points to both literal martyrs and the Jewish cause. Ezekiel's talking to those who were essentially killed and carried off into foreign exile. This is a scene of despair. He's speaking to people who have gone through events that no one should ever have to experience. People that have no hope. People that are experiencing active grief and loss. But what Ezekiel, what the other prophets, and what God more accurately is doing through them is breathing hope back into a hopeless people. He's coming before the Babylonian exile people. He's saying, God isn't done with us. God has something in store for us. He's going to restore us. But importantly, Ezekiel's saying we have to return to God. You see, God doesn't simply offer comfort, he offers restoration. He invites his people to prepare for it. That means the people are going to have some work ahead of them, rebuilding their nation, their city, their spiritual identity. They're being invited into what is next. And now, what I have to reflect on is how this now intersects with us today. Again, this isn't just a word for the people of the Bible thousands of years ago, but there's a message for us today. Like Israel, we the church, not Woodland, but the big church, we've lost ground. Not to Babylon, but to apathy, division, fear. And so this isn't just Israel's story, but it's ours too. Seems like whenever I begin poking around online, I see churches all over the place closing their doors forever. When I think about the course of the church in America, sometimes it can feel more like skeletons than churches. Beautiful bones with no breath inside. In so many ways, we can see how this passage relates to us as a people, as the church today. We may not be like Israel in exile, but we know something about brokenness. We live in a world that often feels like a valley of dry bones. Our communities carry scars of trauma, division, apathy, and loss. The church, Big C, sometimes it feels like it's lost its breath. Programs can replace prayer, comfort can replace calling, and faith can become passive instead of prophetic. And yet the beautiful thing is God asks us the same question that he asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live again? God invites us to join him in restoration, to speak hope, to breathe the Spirit, to call dry bones back to life, not by our power, but by our obedience. James 2 reminds us, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We are called to be more than belief. We are called to action. You see, the church is not a museum for the preserved, but a hospital for the broken. And we are charged to be the staff. We are called, like the prophet Ezekiel, to minister to these dry bones. We are called to be part of the solution. God wants to use us, and that's why what we do matters here, now, and beyond. We're called to speak life to the downtrodden, to show up and be present for the suffering, to create spaces for healing, to move from hope into action. That's why I love when I come into a church and I see things like this backpack fundraiser, and there's so many ministries going on. I know even just yesterday we had volunteers from this church and from another that came up to Crossroads and began to help restore some of campgrounds at Crossroads. So I know I might be going long here, and I'm going to keep this brief, but it's so important because it makes everything that we've been talking about practical and tangible. Let me just share a quick story about one of these modern prophets, a modern example of how we might, like Ezekiel, speak life into dry bones. Over this past year, I had the great joy of watching a summer staff counselor minister to a young girl who had experienced trauma. I won't go into details, but this poor little girl, she went through something that no child should ever have to experience. She carried hopelessness, hurt, and despair in her heart. Through that pain, I learned that she had said that she gave up on God. Not much older than 10, 11, 12. She said, "How can a God who loves me allow this to happen in my life?" She was in a season. She was in a valley of dry bones. But God is so good. You see, our 20-year-old staff member, she didn't have the power to heal this wound, this trauma that the young girl carried. She couldn't speak life into that situation on her own. She didn't have the strength, the wisdom, the ability to do that. That sort of resurrection, well, that requires the Lord. That requires the Holy Spirit. Yet, like Ezekiel, she prophesied. She stayed with the girl. She prayed with her. She listened. She was present. At the end of the weekend, the camper who had experienced so much hurt, tears in her eyes, threw her arms around the counselor, and cried tears of joy. She thanked her for praying with her. She thanked her for listening. She thanked her for simply being present. And she said that she experienced God that weekend at summer camp. She said the Holy Spirit had rekindled her faith and that she was now recommitted to following the Lord with her life. In this story, I'm reminded that we aren't Ezekiel, but you have breath in your lungs. You may not be a prophet, but you have a message of hope. You may not raise the dead, but God can. And He wants to use each and every one of us. Dim bones, dim bones, dim bones.